Broadcasting live from Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Cape Fear Seniors, where those who impact seniors' lives gather to tell their stories.
Welcome to Cape Fear Seniors. I'm Tom Petcher, your host, and our guest today is Rick Richards, who's the CEO, newly minted, actually, of Elder House Incorporated. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you very much, Tom.
And congratulations on the new job.
Oh, thank you. We've enjoyed being here.
How long have you been doing it now?
Grand total of 116 days.
So you're counting day by day. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, we're going to stop pretty quick.
Yeah, good. About 3 months or so. Let's start by talking about exactly what Elder House is. You've got a lot of programs. If you could just kind of give us an overview, and then we can dig down a little bit more deeply.
In 1981, Elder House was started as a nonprofit organization, 501(c), and it started as an adult day health center. And from there, in about 8 or 10 years ago, they decided to start the PACE program, and it became Elder House PACE. So we run two distinct operations under the Elder House umbrella.
Two distinct operations. What services do you offer in each? Well, first of all, let's start with Elder House. That's the actual physical facility. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
And you provide services to seniors there on site.
Correct.
What kind of services?
Well, in their Elder House PACE, they're a program of all-inclusive care services for the elderly. It's designed for people who meet nursing home level of care, who wish to still live in their communities with assistance from friends or family and the Elder House PACE team.
So do clients come to the site?
Yes, as part of our services, we have adult day health services at the site. In addition to adult day health services, we provide nutrition and social work, nursing, primary care, physical therapy, occupational therapy, transportation, and activities at the site.
So it's pretty all-inclusive. If a visitor were to come by, what would a visitor see on the floor?
Well, of course, it would see a variety of activities all the way from the usual bingo to art, singing, that type of thing, and, of course, nutrition activities, and just general socialization of the individual participants, enjoying each other's company.
The thinking behind it, a lot of it has to do with that issue of socialization, keeping people from becoming kind of isolated, lonely. Mm-hmm.
In our homes or in an institution, the social isolation just kind of is a problem for our elders in the community.
It's hard to get on the highways and byways of Wilmington and the general Cape Fear region without seeing those ubiquitous Elder House buses. What are they doing when I see them on the road, those buses? Where are they taking folks to or from?
The primary mission of Elder House is support transportation of our elders, and they do pick up elders at home and bring them to the center. In addition to center activities, we're also responsible for hospitalizations, specialist care, that type of thing. And so we'll transport our elders to those individual specialists and different appointments outside of our center.
Do clients typically come for the full day, or are there half-day opportunities as well?
There are part-day opportunities or full day. The client's plan of care really decides on how often they come to the center. That's client-driven, or the team makes suggestions to the client on how often they need to attend the center.
When a client begins working with you, coming to the center, or being served by you, I heard you use the term plan of care. Is an actual nurse-generated plan of care created for every single client?
Actually, the team I mentioned, the 8-member team, creates a plan of care as each team member, and they come together and create a holistic plan of care for every participant.
So the care plans are, in many ways, customized to every single client.
Yes, sir. It's all individualized plan of care for each client, their strengths, weaknesses, their needs, their wants, and desires for health care.
Who qualifies for services at Elder House PACE?
For PACE, first of all, a client has to be 55 years of age or older, live in our approved service area.
Which is what?
It's basically Brunswick County and northern Brunswick County and all of New Hanover County. And so that's our designated service area by our Medicare application. And then after that, they need to be able to live safely in the community with assistance either from PACE staff or friends and family caregivers, mm-hmm. and then meet nursing home level of care as determined by the state of North Carolina.
So actually what you're doing is you're providing a central resource for folks who need those various levels of assistance, either help with ADLs, activities of daily living, or need socialization. But most of them, I'm assuming, remain at home, as independent as possible at home. Is that correct?
That is the sole goal of PACE, is to keep people in their community at home. We do, however, use nursing facilities at times to assist us with care.
But once again, not isolated, either self-imposed isolation or isolation because of, you know, just lack of interaction with the outside world.
Yes, socialization is the main drive.
Mm-hmm. I've been fascinated as I've done more research on Elder House PACE and how it works. And I don't think many people really understand this, but as being someone who's a professional in the elder care business, as you are, this comes naturally to you. But I'd like you to talk a little bit about, for our audiences, how all-inclusive Elder House PACE is in terms of aggregating resources of each client, as well as then serving every single clinical need that client may have, all under one roof and under one plan of care, if you will. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Let's go back in history a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
In the late 70s, the Chinese community approached Medicare in the state of California to basically develop a new model of health care for elders. And that model would include all the services that I've mentioned, such as therapy, primary care, nursing, dietary activities, transportation, and social works support services. So those services come together as one team, working as a team, not as individual disciplines.
Right.
And then they evaluate the potential participant's family, the participant themselves, and develop an all-inclusive plan of care to support that family and that individual in their home environment to keep them in the community. And so the idea is not to take away what the family does, but to support the family and create a safety net to keep them in the community. It's in the one thing, and it's the one model of healthcare where the participant and the family are real true partners with the caregivers, like the doc and the nurses. So it is a partnership. So that drive and partnership really engages the family in being part of that plan of care process.
I'm intrigued by the very top of that story. Why the Chinese community? Did that come out of a cult? Was that a cultural issue for Chinese folks in California?
Yes, sir. It's basically driven by the idea that we don't want our elders in the community to go to the nursing facility and be isolated. So what they did was they created an adult day type setting where they could bring all of the elders there and provide the services to them that are culturally appropriate, as well as keeping them in their community.
How do you determine whether or not someone is functional at home, even though they may be getting help during the day from at the center, and also all that aggregation of services? In other words, are there criteria that you can actually articulate that say someone is independent enough to be able to stay at home and then come into Elder House PACE?
Well, again, it's all individually based. Some folks live alone, some live with family, some have family that support them outside and come into the home. We have a team of an OT, a social worker, and a home care coordinator.
You have to assess that.
To go to the home and make an individualized assessment of the strengths of the ability of the individual to live at home, with either support or not support from the family.
And that's a qualitative judgment in some cases. I mean, it's probably both science and art together.
I think it's more art than science.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So meeting the elder need in the home and keeping them safe is our main criteria.
So it's a fascinating model, and I want to explore that whole business of how you actually bring together the entire team. And by team, you're saying it's not just the folks on site at the facility, the RNs, the caregivers, the social workers, and so forth. But you actually assemble the team of the physician's primary care, the client's primary care physician, any other specialists that the client may be involved with. You actually interface, as I understand it, with the pharmacies regarding medication. Anything that has to do with clinical care for a client, you actually create that team, and they do work together as opposed to independently, which is where so many issues come when you have a doctor working independently of a social worker and working independently of a pharmacist. I mean, we hear these horror stories about several doctors, prescribing for one client, not knowing at all what's going on in terms of what those prescriptions are, and you've got that real fear and that real concern for medication working at odds with other medications.
If you could imagine a healthcare consumer going to the drugstore, then going back to the doc to get a script, then going to another specialist and getting something else done, then going back to the drugstore again. That doesn't happen at Pace. When someone comes into Pace, our doc assumes all of their primary care responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so they monitor when we send someone to another doc, we monitor that visit and review it and then work with that doc on prescriptions because, as you said, all of our drugs do come through the Pace Center as part of the Pace benefit. So our docs have all the medications that individual's on right there on site, and so they can monitor any potential counter-interactions that could be a problem for the participant. And also we watch the services. So we not only provide the services, we purchase the services. So our team monitors and actually works with the participant to help decide whether that service outside our center is needed, as cardiology or cancer or whatever other service could be required.
Let's talk a little bit about money. In the same way that you aggregate those services, do you also then, do you actually, in a sense, manage a client's financial resources in order to help support the services that you offer? In other words, let's say someone's on Social Security and maybe they perhaps also qualify for Medicaid. Maybe there's a small pension. Maybe there's disability involved. Do you actually then take over the client's finances as well to some degree?
What we really do is if a client is Medicare eligible and Medicaid eligible, those two pots of money come together. Mm-hmm. And it's about the same price as a nursing home rate per month, about $5,000 per month.
Right.
And so with that money, we manage all their health care needs with that fund, all the way from drugs to therapies to home care to hospitalizations and all specialty care. So for the price of a nursing home stay, we not only do that service to keep them out of the facility, but we also do all their health care needs.
But because you're dealing with, and we'll get into numbers in a moment, because you're dealing with many clients, you're able to actually bring all those resources together from all those clients and then purchase services at a scale that perhaps would be more efficient than just dealing with one individual. Is that fair?
That's a fair statement. But basically, all those monies are bundled together mm-hmm. because we do help so many people.
Right.
And then we are a Medicare, Medicaid provider, a health care plan. That's our designation in the Medicare world. And so what we do is we negotiate all contracts at the Medicaid or Medicare rates. And because we do manage the flow of our patients to and from different services, we can create a savings. And the other unique thing about PACE, and like some areas of Medicare and Medicaid, you only get so much. Mm-hmm. Examples, you just get so many therapy appointments or just so much treatment of this. The goal of PACE is to create a highly functional individual for their age or their diagnosis. And so we can do therapies and interventions well beyond what normal medical practice can do. And those interventions create very good outcomes for our participants that decrease their hospital days, decrease their medication usage, and decrease their falls and those type of things that cause injuries. So we get a savings there too.
Are there income requirements, either caps or ceilings or floors?
The basic income requirement is for a Medicaid patient in North Carolina, anything over their the 100% of poverty that they may get from Social Security, they may be required to pay what's called a PML, patient monthly liability payment. So anyone that makes basically over $1,000 a month may have to pay a portion of that to the PACE Center as part of a, for lack of a better word, a copay or PML payment. But they still retain about $1,000 to live on in the community.
And you mentioned earlier in our conversation that you deal a lot with families because in most care cases, whether it's private pay home care or nursing home care, the family typically is very, very involved in helping the loved one, the senior, make the right decisions for his or her best health reach, if you will. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you do work with families. In the beginning, before the client becomes a client, to kind of talk through how the program works, but then once somebody's kind of enrolled, ensconced in the program, what kind of interaction do you have on a regular basis with the family to keep them posted as to what's going on with their loved one?
Well, the family is really the key to keeping the individual safe in the community. As you know, family caregivers are the largest caregiver group in America.
Absolutely.
And
unpaid.
Very much right. So. And their contributions are what we're about supporting. And so there's a, we use a primary care nurse system as well as our doctors and social work. So there's a lot of ongoing interaction with the family to keep them involved on the status of the individual. They're helping keep in the communities. And every family's different, as you know. Some are very much involved and want to know daily what's going on, and, right. and we try to meet those needs. And some are a little bit more or less involved, and so we have to maybe be a little more in tune to making sure they understand where their family member's at in our program and how they're doing.
Do you have regular gatherings for family members in a group basis, or do you mostly deal with them individually?
There's a family support group that our PACE sponsors, and they come and enjoy each other's company and interaction. And then, of course, the formalized care plan process I mentioned. We like to bring all caregivers together with the participant and our team to discuss the care plan, and that happens at least twice a year at a minimum.
Yeah. How many clients are you working with currently?
In our PACE program, about 130. Mm-hmm. And so when you turn that into the family members, that's a couple hundred
people
we're working with to help keep people out of the nursing facilities.
And this is a model that is seen around the country. Is that right?
Yes, sir. There's a little over 100 PACE programs now nationwide. When I first got involved with PACE, there were about 40 around 2003. So it has grown some. It's such a unique model
right.
that it's hard for states and the relating healthcare organizations to relate to, just because the goals are prevention, interaction,
right.
socialization. It brings a lot of non-medical pieces to the program that the participants really benefit from.
When like Medicaid or Medicare finds themselves in sort of a purely clinical pigeonhole, if you will, it's hard for them to relate to those other more perhaps social or non-clinical needs that a client may have, and therefore, as you were indicating, they're probably less likely to either understand it initially, and if you don't understand it, you're not going to pursue necessarily seeing how well it does work, and then maybe sort of modeling it even more and more.
That's correct. What we see is in our current medical model, as you know, we like to pay for the broken things, the illnesses,
exactly.
the broken bones, that type.
Precisely.
So we're reactionary as a medical community. But in the PACE program, it's all proactive. It's more preventative. It's really looking ahead at where this participant will be in 6 months from now to try
right.
to get them to the highest function they can be at.
The 100 plus PACE programs around the country, are they primarily located in more urban areas, or is there a rural presence as well?
Well, we're very fortunate to have a few rural PACE programs. While the one I helped start in Oklahoma wasn't designated as rural, we were in a county with a population of only 40,000. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned to drive quite a bit to support our participants there. And so last I knew, there were about 7 rural programs in the country.
Talk about staffing. What kind of staff do you have there in terms of numbers serving, did you say, 131
mm-hmm.
clients?
Well, typically, like all long-term care staffing issues, we can just kind of start with the buses you mentioned.
Right.
In a PACE program, you're going to have about one vehicle for every 10 participants, and that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We have 13 drivers, and they're all, I mean, the wheels don't move, PACE doesn't move, so to speak.
Exactly, right.
And so we have a large number of drivers who are cross-trained as drivers and nurse aides. We have a good number of certified nurse aides, nutrition aides, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a high-level professionals also. We have several nurses, RNs and LPNs, as well as a doc and a couple of nurse practitioners. And we have a very good therapy staff, OT, PT, and speech, and as well as nutritionists and social workers. Our licensed social workers do a lot of counseling and family
right.
support.
And those folks are all on site, right?
Yes, sir.
And
they interface daily mm-hmm. with the participants.
Is the doctor on site as well?
On site,
mm-hmm.
full time.
But then obviously you have relationships with other doctors through their offices
mm-hmm.
Because when somebody comes in, they don't necessarily change primary care physician, or do they?
They do.
Oh, they do.
The unique thing about PACE is, and that's part of the partnership, the individual surrenders all their care to our facility.
Got it.
And so any care they get must be approved by our team prior approval, and then our team refers to the contracted specialist. The only care that our team doesn't approve is emergency care. Mm-hmm. And so they can access emergency care anytime.
Right. You have a big presence on 16th Street, across the street from the hospital. That's your primary location.
Yes, sir.
Just underwent a fairly significant expansion and renovation in the last couple of years. Where else are you in town?
We have our adult day center at the Amphitheater Drive, mm-hmm. Down by the lake, and that's where we serve about 40 individuals for adult day health services. It's a 6,000 square foot center there, and we provide some transportation.
That's primarily daily care, though,
yes, sir. It is adult day center care only.
No real clinical assistance. They come, or is there?
We'll do some medication administration and a little bit of recommendations, but no, it's mostly just socialization, exercise programs, activities, that type of thing.
Do people at that facility also go to the 16th Street facility?
No, sir. It's purely adult day, non-nursing home level of care there.
Right. For a program that seems to have so many advantages, especially for our less well-off population who really does need this kind of assistance, one would think that it would be even more in place than it is. 131 is great. It's great that you're serving 131 clients. Why aren't you serving 1,300 clients?
Well, I guess there's a number of reasons.
And that's not a criticism. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's obviously a program that works. Why aren't we using
it
more?
It's a question I've heard many times over the last few years. The first thing about PACE, on the business model side, it's pure not-for-profit.
Right.
There are no for-profit PACEs currently open in the country. And so there's no real motivation from that point of view. It's a community service. Mm-hmm. The other side, as I mentioned, it's a partnership. Even though someone may qualify and may really need the service, they may choose to direct their own health care, and so they don't want the team to work with the team. And thirdly, it's such a change from our current medical model.
Yeah.
So it's not readily accepted all the way from governmental authorities all the way down to the current fee-for-service business model in health care. So that paradigm change is very difficult. So it has grown. Mm-hmm. It's more than doubled in 10 years. North Carolina currently has 9 PACE sites, which is very progressive.
It is, yeah.
And so the challenge of taking that paradigm change through our communities is probably the number one drawback to PACE. Winding up,
it sounds to me that one of the priorities, it seems to me, would be for education of the general population. The more people would know about this, the more support there'd be for an expansion of services, which I think would be a good thing. How do you deal with education? Do you go out and talk about the program?
You're
on radio shows, I take it.
Yeah, you bet. I guess the main thing I want to say about PACE is you got to hear about it 3 times before you halfway understand
it. That's fair, yeah. It took me about a year to kind of get the whole program.
And so it's difficult. As I said, it's such a paradigm from what we're changed from what we're currently used to that people do have to hear it and hear it and hear it. But the main thing is you need to see it. So we love to invite people to come to our center and walk through and see the various services mm-hmm. that we do so you can see that team in action interacting with the participants and see how that service really, really does work.
That makes a lot of sense. We've been talking with Rick Richards, who's the CEO of Elder House PACE Incorporated here in Wilmington, serving Northern Brunswick County and all of New Hanover County. Rick, it's been great to have you on the show, hear about the program, and good luck going forward.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed the time.
You're very welcome.